This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
Can we thank these guys, Alec and Rachel? You guys did. Can we put our hands together? These guys leading so well today. I'm so thankful for them and really thankful for being here today with you. My name is Richie, not Hauser, Richie Shaw, apparently. And I'm really glad, really thankful to be here with you today. I'm really, really thankful for your lead pastor, Chris and Heather. They've been longtime friends of my wife and I for man, we just celebrated 22 years of marriage last week, and Chris and Heather and I used to go on double dates, the four of us, like when we were dating in college years together, and so very, very, very amazing couple, and you guys are very blessed to have such an amazing lead pastor, and I'm really thankful. I know maybe it's challenging with him being away for so long, but I'm really thankful that you are giving him this time away. I had coffee with him a couple weeks ago, and God is speaking and refreshing him and Heather so powerfully right now, and I'm just thankful for you as a church to support and rally through a season like this for them to be refreshed and filled again with vision and passion for you and for Jesus Church and for this amazing town that you live in. And so I just want to say thank you for that. And I'm really thankful for Chris and Heather. My wife and I have been through, we've been married, like I said, 22 years. We've got two girls, 16 and 19-year-old daughters. And we've been through the hardest year of our life this last year. My wife was about 2 weeks away from dying from a crazy lymphoma just this time last year. And they caught it very late in the whole progress of all of that, and it was challenging. It was the hardest year of our lives, and by the grace of God, my wife is in remission right now and cancer-free. But Chris and Heather were amazing support, amazing love, and amazing friends during this last season, and just really, really thankful for your lead pastor and how God brought him here. And so I'm excited to be with you today and thankful that we get this chance. Chris has preached multiple times while I've been on breaks. I'm from Spokane. We planted a church in Spokane 13 years ago, and we have been leading that church ever since. We're in the middle of a crazy remodel project right now, and all kinds of mayhem has been going on in our world. But I am so thankful that Chris has been such a support through the years, and really thankful that I get to be here today and kind of be with you in this way. And so you guys have been studying through the book of Mark. Have you been enjoying the book of Mark? It's an awesome book, and I love the way that God speaks through the book of Mark. And so I'm excited today to dive into chapter 5 with you, I believe it is, yes. I should know this. I'm about to preach on it. So if you've got a Bible app, you want to open to Mark chapter 5. That is where we are going to be today. And I want to just kind of ask you a couple of questions. I was thinking about my wife's healing. Many of you know her, know our story. She grew up here in Coeur d'Alene, maybe went to high school with some of you. I don't know. I grew up in the Seattle area. And, I was thinking about the way God has been healing her. The chemo was an immense part of that healing process, but some of you have been praying, and I wanna say thank you for that. But at the core of her healing and the core of this last year, I think we can confidently say that we have experienced a miracle of God. And I don't know about some of your lives, if you, maybe you'd be confident enough to put your hand in the air and say, man, I've witnessed miracles of God before in maybe my life, somebody else's life, several of you, that's amazing. Maybe you would be thinking about somebody in your life or a friend or a family member that you would say, I know somebody that needs a miracle right now, and please don't elbow your spouse, you know, in this. But you would say, yeah, no, I know people that need a miracle right now. Maybe you would even be so bold this morning to say, I need a miracle right now in my life. And I think about this story that we're about to dive into, and I think it's an important conversation for us to have because the supernatural power of God, the way God can work in the midst of our very normal and mundane lives that we are leading, is something that I think we need to be brought to kind of center in our lives, because life just kind of happens and goes and goes and goes. And if we're not careful, our spirituality and our religion that we call Christianity is something that maybe doesn't feel very powerful quite often, or it feels kind of mundane or just like tradition and things that we're navigating out of practical, pragmatic kind of thoughtfulness. And I think that there are legitimate places in our lives and in our friends and families' lives that need miracles, like God to show up in a supernatural way right now in our lives. And I think I look at this story today and I go, God, I pray that you would break through maybe expectations that have been beaten down. I don't know if you've wrestled with this. Like, religion and Christianity for some of us have become something that maybe is just full of a lot of disappointments and hurt and difficulties, and find it hard sometimes to keep believing that God could do something powerful, especially if you're in the midst of a really difficult situation right now. Could God actually like break through this and do something supernatural? Maybe your Christianity, your relationship with God has sunk into a place where supernatural working of God isn't really a part of your hope or your prayer anymore. Maybe you found yourself accidentally kind of in a fog where your religion is casual and based purely on what you can control and what you can manage. My hope today is that this story would kind of break through some of that fog. Maybe you're somebody that doesn't know Jesus in the room today, and you maybe never have really witnessed the power of God in your life. And my hope is that this would be a story that can maybe spark a hope or an anticipation in your heart today, that God could maybe turn this life around or change this circumstance or heal this brokenness like in my wife's circumstance, take this cancer away. And I'm believing that God is gonna speak powerfully through this passage today. And so I wanna pray as we look to his word, and just maybe in your own way, in your own heart, just ask him to speak to you and fill you in this time today. Lord, we come to you now. As we open your word, we ask God that you would powerfully speak. Spirit of God, would you move? Would you lead? Would you heal? Would you transform? Would you reveal? Jesus, you promised when you sent your spirit that he would lead us into all truth. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, now to be here powerfully present, leading each and every one of our hearts into all truth. We ask you to reveal things that are in the darkness, God, that need to be brought into the light. I pray that you would convict where there's kind of a numbness and in just a fog of religion, God, where there's maybe despair or depression or just a despondency, God, because of things have just discouraged us. God, I pray that you would lift weary hearts and minds in this room today, God, where maybe we've lacked faith or our faith has kind of been beaten out of us because of difficulties. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come in and bring light and hope and joy and freedom today to your church, God. I just thank you for your word, that it is alive, that it's powerful, that it's working, God, and that right now, God, you are going to speak to every one of our hearts, God. We just fill our hearts with faith right now and trust, God, that you're gonna move in this time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 5, verse 1 says, they came to the other side of the sea. And this is reading out of the English Standard Version. This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. Am I okay on the feedback? Is that all right? Okay, Tony's got me. Jesus and the disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This is a demon living inside of this guy. He lived among the tombs. This is where this guy lived, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. I want you to kind of understand the context of this story as we begin this story. Jesus and his disciples went where Jews in their day should not be going. This was kind of the off limits, the other side of the water. This is the place where Greeks and Romans kind of occupied, and Jewish people weren't really okay to go to this side of the lake. In fact, as the disciples and Jesus are going there, you guys studied the story of the storm that Jesus calmed. This would have been a sign to the disciples. See, Jesus, we should not be going to this side of the lake. God is judging us for going to this side of the lake. In fact, when they showed up on the shore and there's this demon-possessed crazy guy, they would have been like, see, Jesus, this is not a good spot for us to go. This is like the most un-Jewish place that a Jew should go. And I want you to kind of consider that, because we don't necessarily think of the other side of the lake that way. We don't think of the other side of town that way. But this was an unclean, un-Jewish place to be. This is exactly what the disciples or any good Jew would expect to happen when they got to the other side of the lake. Like, these people are messed up. They're all demon-possessed. They're all crazy. We got to stay away from these people. They're going to make us unclean and make us unworthy to really worship our God. There's this massive divide in their hearts and their minds. They would have expected this place to be ruled by demons. You'll see this theme throughout the New Testament, even through the book of Mark, that Jesus is constantly pressing into these places that people didn't really want him to go to or did not expect him to go to. Even as Jesus is calming the storm in the previous passage, this is him demonstrating an authority over the chaos. Water in the first few centuries really historically symbolized chaos. And so that Jesus could actually command chaos into order was a massive statement. Now he's going headfirst into a place where no Jew should go. In fact, it's going to make us unclean if we go there. Jesus seems unafraid to go to this dangerous, wild place. You watch, if you study church history, you'll see the Desert Fathers in the third and fourth century. They start to actually, they're called the Desert Fathers because this is like the birth of the monastic movement where monks came from. They actually would leave the cities and go live in the wild places, the deserts and the kind of the fringe of humanity. Not because they were trying to escape. This is a common misnomer with monks, like, oh, they just can't handle the city, so they're getting out of town. That's not at all what they were doing. They always saw the wild places like the deserts and the scarce lands as places where demons roamed freely. And so the Desert Fathers were actually going into the desert to do battle. They're like, that's where the demons are? Let's go. We're gonna go take them on head first. I mean, there's accounts from some of these guys where they actually saw Satan face to face and they were like battling Satan face to face through the power of God. Like, there's like these amazing heroic kind of people that went into the desert to say, you know what? The wild place is exactly where God has power and authority. And I think Jesus is setting that theme and setting that trajectory right here in this story. And I think it's important for you and I, as we begin this story, just to kind of consider, oh, like, the God of the universe isn't afraid of our wild and broken and desolate places. In fact, I would say the opposite. Jesus loves to work wonders in the wild, in those kind of chaotic, crazy, out of control places in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. I don't know what the wild might be for you, but there's probably an assumption in each of our hearts about maybe bad people, bad places, bad situations, that we've in our kind of way, we've decided that those are places that God can't, won't, doesn't work. Or maybe we've hoped that he would work in those places, but it hasn't seemed that he's worked in those places. And so maybe our hope kind of is just dissipated and we found ourselves maybe just distant from the thought of something supernatural happening in that place. And that wild place can be kind of different places for each of us. Some of you maybe have really externalized those wild places. There's people, there's those places, those, maybe it's I don't know, like, we're from Spokane. When we lived in Coeur d'Alene, we lived here for 5 years. People over here, you know, kind of look at Spokane like, you know, like that place. Our building's being remodeled, and it's so funny. Most of the guys, the construction workers, are all from Coeur d'Alene, and you could just hear them muttering under their breath all the time, like all day, like, it's so ghetto over here, you know, like this, like this disdain, you know. So maybe that's Spokane for you. I don't know, but you externalize, right? You think about, oh man, there's people, there's statuses, there's political parties, there's genders, there's sexuality, there's maybe these places that are broken or unclean or untouchable, unreachable. Some of us internalize these wild places like divorces or addictions or mental health or sickness that we're struggling with. Maybe you've internalized this wild place with maybe some trauma from growing up or abuse you endured, or you found yourself shut off from God because these places inside you are so sensitive and so filled with chaos that you just kind of say, I just got to figure this out. And then maybe my relationship with God. I would ask you to consider where this wild place is for you. As we read this story today, I don't want you to just kind of look at it at a distance, but I actually want you to be engaged and go, man, where is that other side of the lake, that place in my own heart that Jesus might want to work a wonder in that I've maybe decided that he can't or won't or, you know, isn't possible anymore. Look at this verse 6 with me. When this demon-possessed guy saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He says, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For Jesus was saying to this demon-possessed guy, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. There's this picture here, like this is not just one demon. This is like an army of demons inside of this guy. Jesus asked him, what is your name? We are many. He begged him, these demons begged Jesus earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. All kinds of questions emerge out of this part of the passage. So there's legitimate demon possession, and not just one demon, but lots of demons. Not only that, it seems like they kind of rule that region. Don't send us out of this region. Like, this is our part. This is our territory. And then they can possess pigs and make pigs run off a cliff and, like, all kinds of questions, right? I'm going to let Angela answer every one of your questions on this issue, okay? And, as the content team was meeting and talking about this, I think it's worth just noting, like, this is intense spirituality right here in this story. And I think it's important for us just to again, like, come to grips with, like, so much of our life is so pragmatic and so manageable and so controllable. Like, this was not one of those situations. This was a crazy, crazy demon-possessed moment where this guy was out of control. But I love this because here these demons are begging Jesus for every next step. Think of this, like, if this is kind of the most crazy, chaotic, wild scene you can imagine, a army of demons possessing this guy. Not even chains could hold this guy. Like, they gave him supernatural strength. Like, this is, like, so intense. And yet, even in the midst of this, Jesus has authority. The demons are begging him to don't send us out of here, begging him to go to the pigs. The guy is bowing down before Jesus while he's possessed with these demons. And I think that there are lots of places in our lives where they feel like the darkness is winning. The enemy is winning. Maybe it is demons, or it's this sense of, like, spiritual darkness has overcome and overtaken us. And here's where those places are, where we feel powerless. I can't overcome this. This addiction owns me. This discouragement won't go away. The cloud just seems to hang over my heart. There's these places where we just feel powerless. It was evident that no matter what the people in this region tried to do with this guy and these demons, they just continued to rule over them, except for right here in this moment, the king of the universe steps off the boat, confronts this demon, and now they're bowing and begging before Jesus. I love this because I feel like there's so much encouragement that Jesus is willing to walk into this wild place and demonstrate his power over every problem. Anything that you and I would ever say, man, it's too big, it's too much, it's too strong, they're too strong, this is too deep, it's too wounded, it's too broken, I'm too addicted, I'm too stuck, I'm too discouraged. Like Jesus is going, no, I've got power there. And I've got power here. If I've got power in this place, then I got power in your place. I got power in your brokenness, in your pain, in your shame, in your guilt, whatever it is that has locked you up and you've felt powerless, Jesus is here in this story today demonstrating his power over every problem. That's good news, isn't it? Like I get so encouraged by this because his authority is unmatched in any place, in anywhere, with any people or any situation. His authority is demonstrated in this passage as an encouragement to you. The God of the universe would go across this water to this wild place where no good Jewish person should have gone to demonstrate his authority and his power and show, like, he's not afraid of darkness. Jesus isn't worried about how bad the problem is, how big the demons are, how strong the stronghold is. Jesus is demonstrating his authority over all that brokenness in this moment, saying, no, I've got the power, I have the authority, I am here to heal, I am here to restore, I am here to transform. Like, this is like, for Jesus' church, for those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, like this is an opportunity for our hearts to be lifted and go, wait a second, why have I allowed my Christianity to become something that is so lacking power, so lacking faith for God to do something supernatural in my day? Jesus, your power brings freedom, freedom from demons, from the darkest depths, the most difficult situation that you find yourself in, whatever space that you've shut off from God in your life and said, no, that's too wild, it's too broken, it's too hard. Jesus is saying in this story, nah. It's not. Look at verse 14 with me. The herdsmen, these are the guys that were shepherding the pigs, they fled and they told the city, in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus, they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, and he was sitting there. He was clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Like, these are godless people, and clearly God just moved in our midst, and now they're terrified. Those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and listen, they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Why would they do that? They don't know Jesus. They don't know who he is, but it's just evident that somebody with a lot of power and a lot of authority just stepped off on our shore, and it really is making us uncomfortable. I just think about in our own lives, how many times that we've needed the power of God in our lives, but we're still so determined to fit God in our box. How many times we've needed desperately God to perform a miracle in our lives, but it's almost like we want to dictate the way that that miracle goes. And I see this kind of rejection of Jesus, not as like, oh, we don't love Jesus or care about Jesus. Like I think that there's a real fear. They said that, the Bible says that they were afraid. Like, this is something beyond our comprehension, the power that Jesus is demonstrating. This doesn't make sense. And I just, it feels like a caution to me and to us to go, hey, if we really want God to work in our lives, we really need him to show up in powerful ways. Let's not be shy about the supernatural. Like, if we're really desperate for a miracle, however God you want to do that, then do that. Like, let's not try to dictate God's work on our terms with our ideas and how we think it should go. I mean, there was a lot of things that were going really wrong for these herdsmen in this passage. They just lost the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of livestock off that cliff because of Jesus. That's not pragmatically really the way it should go, Jesus, right? My life's supposed to get better with you in it? My story is supposed to go more successful and more blessed and more awesome with you involved in my life. Like, why would it be that you would take my economic means away in this situation? And I think that sometimes this is kind of a trap for us. We get kind of hung up on the pragmatic side of life and feel like the supernatural might actually interrupt or kind of ruin some of the things that we've got really going on. And so our discomfort with the supernatural sometimes makes us kind of shy about it. And I don't know about you, but I've been in church my entire life, and I've always been around moments in God's presence. And I love worshiping God. I love being together with Jesus Church. And I love these moments where God just moves powerfully. But sometimes I do find myself struggling with a religion that's kind of empty, a religion that's kind of just motions and going through it. And because I'm supposed to, it like feels like out of obligation more than it does out of privilege. And I think that this story speaks this warning into my heart and maybe into your heart as well, that I don't want to just get okay with empty, powerless religion. I actually want to experience the power, the supernatural power of the living God in my life day in and day out. I don't want to be in a church where we just kind of go through motions and just experience, you know, what a church is supposed to do. But actually, God shows up and meets us in powerful and miraculous ways when we gather, in ways that can't even happen when I'm in my home by myself or with my family. But God is here, and it's evident that his presence is here, and people are experiencing freedom and transformation in our midst that is beyond comprehension, and it's beyond pragmatic, you know, solving self-help kind of stuff. It's like actually God moving in our midst. And I want to be a people that actually expect and seek God to move in these ways. I don't want to be shy about the supernatural because it makes us maybe uncomfortable or kind of messes with our box and how we want things to go. These people were terrified of the power of God moving in their midst. And I think about that as such a warning to me to go, God, I want to pray for, expect, long for you to move in supernatural and powerful ways in my life and in our church. I think about what Jesus went to, the length he went to for this one guy. And that he was willing to go across the water. You don't hear him preaching any messages in this part of the world. You don't see him kind of accomplishing all this great stuff. But he just went to this length for this one guy to meet him in the midst of this crazy, crazy brokenness that he was in, this trap that he was in. And he met him in this place and brought healing, brought freedom, brought hope. And I think that sometimes my shyness about the supernatural work of God keeps me from believing that God can and wants to go to these kind of lengths in my life and in my friend's life and my family's life. My wife and I spent a whole bunch of time this weekend just talking about our two daughters. They're 16 and 19, and they're amazing. And parenting, you know, an adult and you know, older teenagers is way different than parenting toddlers. And we're just kind of in this constant adjustment and growing thing. And at the end of several of these conversations that last for a long time, as we're like, how do we help and do and not do? And what, you know, how do we help them become these amazing adults and these young women that God has called? And it's just like, at the end of it, there's just this sense inside of me, like, God, we need you to work in their lives in the way that only God, you can work in their lives. And it's so tempting to be super pragmatic and, you know, kind of make sure everything makes sense and fit God into the thing that we can control and that we can make happen. But man, God, we just need a miracle. And I think that Jesus loves it when his church is at this place, when you are at this place. It's so uncomfortable to be in desperate need of a miracle, right? It is so uncomfortable because we like to have things in control and things to make sense and things to work in our lives. But I feel like God wants to stir our hearts with a hope and an anticipation that if God can go to this length for this guy, that God could go to these kind of lengths for us and to work in our lives in ways that actually make an impact supernaturally, not only in our lives, but in people around us. Look at how this story ends, verse 18. This guy was getting back into the boat. Jesus was getting back into the boat. And the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with him. But Jesus did not permit him and said to him, "No, I want you to go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you." And so this guy went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis, that's this region, this very non-Jewish, very Greek place, how much Jesus had done for him. And listen, everyone marveled. One of the things that this concludes with is just this testimony, this story, this witness of the power of God and what he was doing in this guy's life. Think of what would have happened if this guy would have went with Jesus. He would have just been another one of those guys that was following Jesus through Judea. Sure, his life was probably changed, and that's cool and whatever, but the fact that this guy went back to his home, to the place where people actually knew his reputation, they knew his brokenness, they knew his pain, they saw him in the tombs. They were some of the guys that tried to bind him with chains. They saw him running around naked. Like, they saw the depths of his brokenness. Like, I really believe that healing brings hope to those that know you the most. When they see you legitimately transformed, healed, moved by God, shaped, matured by God, you actually are loving more, you know, abundantly in your life, and they saw you stingy and kind of hard to be around, and now you're like this gracious person. Those are the people that really are brought the most hope, not the people that don't really know you. And I think about this, how tempting it is when things are hard and bad and wrong in our lives, and maybe God is starting to do something. It's so nice to change scenery. It's so nice to go to somewhere else and kind of just get a fresh start. But what if, like, Jesus is going, no, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to bring this hope to your home. I want you to bring this hope to the people that know you the most. This is what makes church so special, is actually people get to know you. Many of us come to church not when we're all kind of fixed up and cleaned up and life's all perfect. We come when we are actually desperate for God to do something. Some of you that don't know Jesus in the room, or you're just kind of baby stepping your way into this faith, you're coming kind of messy. And you might start to experience healing and transformation, and the temptation is to walk away from this community right here and go to a new one where you kind of have this fresh start. But, like, think of the power. The people that were able to see you at your worst can now see the progress and the healing and the transformation that God is doing in your life. Think of the hope that brings to a church. Think of the hope that brings to your family. Like, you've been a bad parent, and your kids see you change. They're the ones that are gonna know the most how much God is doing in your life. This healing is intended to bring hope to your home. I mean, you're gonna see later on in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus again goes back to the other side of the lake. And when he gets there, there's thousands of people that know who Jesus is. This one guy's story has actually now become this ripple effect of God's fame and glory spreading throughout this godless region. This is where Jesus feeds 4,000 people, is right here one day. When all these people gather to hear who this Jesus is that set this demon-possessed guy free. Like, I don't know if this was some strategic thing on Jesus' part, but I love the impact of what God can do when one life is changed and we're willing to bring this hope to those that know us the most. To actually live this transformation, this healing, this work of God in our lives in a very intimate, close community. And I think, man, this is such a powerful place for us to recognize God wants to bring hope to those nearest to you through your transformation. When you hear this story, I'm gonna have Alec, where are you at? There you are. I wanna have these guys come up and get us ready to close here in a moment. But here's a couple things I hope you hear as you see this story. I guess some application out of this for you. One would be this. I wanna encourage you to pray that Jesus would move in that wild place, that shut off place, that distant place that you are uncomfortable with inviting him into. Pray. The second thing I want to ask you to do today is to pray that Jesus would actually do his transforming, miraculous work that only he can do in that place. It's your marriage. It's one of your kids. It's a place where there is a stronghold of demons that have actually been controlling your life or your family member, that you would pray with a sense of expectation that God would do something miraculous in that place. And the third thing I would ask you to do today is to pray. Pray that Jesus would give you a story of his transforming work. So I hope you're hearing these takeaways here. Number one is pray. Number two is pray. And number three is pray. Try to keep it simple, Richie, all right? Pray that God would move in those wild places. Pray that he would do a miracle in that place, and pray that he would give you a story of his transforming work. In fact, that's how I wanna close today. As these guys start playing, I wanna invite us into a time of prayer. I don't wanna just talk about the supernatural work of God. I wanna ask God to work supernaturally And so if you would you just stand to your feet with me for a moment here today? I just want to lead you in a time of prayer. So maybe you just need to open your hands right now before God. Just close your eyes for a moment. And that wild place, that place that has been off limits to God is beating inside your chest right now. Maybe the difficulty has just kind of overcome you and overwhelmed you, but God has been speaking to you this entire time. And I want you to just open your hands before him in a posture of surrender right now. God, please come. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this room. Would you come? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, would you come? Come across the sea of our chaos and our brokenness. Come across the sea of our despair and our depression. Come out of the places of normalcy into this spot that just feels so broken, God. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Maybe you just need to verbalize that to him right now in your own words. Come, come, Jesus, come. Come bring healing. Come bring transformation. Come bring hope, God. I pray for any hopeless heart in this room right now, God, that you would fill every heart in this room with hope, God, that you really are who you say you are, that you do love us, that you do see us, that you do know us, God, that you do have plans for us, that you have not forsaken us, you have not abandoned us, that you know our story, God, and you are not done. Come right now, Holy Spirit. God, for those that have been trapped in addiction, whether it's substances, pornography, it's a relationship, God, that they have been allowing to take over their heart, their mind. God, I pray that your freedom would come right now in the name of Jesus, that your power over addiction would just be declared all over this room right now in the name of Jesus. Any place where the enemy has been powerful and ruling in our hearts, we just take back right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Any stronghold, God, that's been established in our hearts and minds where we've just agreed that it's hopeless, God, we just declare today that you are bigger, stronger, and God, you can bring healing and hope to that place, to that stronghold. Break that stronghold in the name of Jesus today, God. God, any marriage that's in trouble in the room today, God, I pray that you would intervene in a miraculous way, Lord. Maybe you just need to grab the hand of your spouse right now. God, I pray that you would break down walls of division, places where the enemy has lied, places where the enemy has been winning, God. I pray for grace and forgiveness in every marriage in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing and reconciliation, God. Where there's been pain and wounds, God, that you would, by your Spirit, just begin to bring healing and forgiveness and a release from bitterness and resentment in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we need your healing. Oh, come, Jesus, come. It's by your power, it's by your grace, it's by your mercy, God. It's your love that sent you across the wild places, God, to people like us. It's your love, God, that reaches into the depths of our pain and brings healing, God. It's your love. And I pray that your love would cover every heart, every mind, every soul in this room today, God. God, break any bondage of fear, depression, discouragement in the name of Jesus right now. Where there's darkness, shine your light in the name of Jesus. Break through, Jesus. Part those clouds in the name of Jesus, God. God, where this body has been hurting or broken or discouraged, God, I pray, Lord, you would lift this body in a place of strength and healing and maturity and fullness, God. Where the staff is weary, God, I pray that you would breathe a fresh wind of life and encouragement and strength into the staff of Anthem Coeur d'Alene, Jesus, right now. that this elder team, God, would be filled with your spirit and filled with vision, filled with a passion for you, Jesus, that Chris and Heather right now, God, would experience your presence in a powerful way, a filling way. God, fill them with vision and passion for this city, for this region, for this church, God, in a powerful way. God, where there's seemed to be a lack of provision, God, I pray that you would pour out your provision in a miraculous way on this church, God. Where maybe there seems like a need for a building, God, we know you have a plan. We know you have a purpose, God. We trust, God, that you are walking with us as a church every step of the way, Lord. We trust you. You are so faithful. You are so good. And we love you, Jesus. I just pray you bless this church. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at anthemcda. We can't wait to see you next week.